Good afternoon, everyone. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports for Wednesday, May 18th, 2022. Coming to you from remote Hankland, as I mentioned, I'm sort of doing this pre-recorded, although I will have it up as quickly as possible, and it may overlap with our normal time. But again, you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports here on Global Patriot Radio at blogtalkradio.com. Hey, if you want to interact with the show, hjpsports1980@gmail.com, or go to Facebook and type in Hank Jones Poly Sports, or go to Twitter at hpolysports. I'm active on all those, less active on some, but you know, hey, what the heck, why not? You can always call into the show during a normal week. That number is the same as always, 319-527-6706. And that number is good for all of the shows on Global Patriot Radio, whether it's Mondays with Vito Esposito and Big Al, or Tuesdays with Eric with the Cross and the Crescent discussion, or Wednesdays, of course, or Thursdays with Paul Sutliff and the Sutliffian Report. Fridays, Andrew Herod with Conservative Casual Friday, and then Saturday nights, Minister Osama Dak Duck and the beautiful Christy with Revealing the Truth About Islam, and back Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, Eric is back with the Real Interfaith Dialogue. Now, a couple of those shows, you may not be able to call in and actually talk. You may only listen on some of them because of restrictions, but that's the number you should be able to call anytime to during show times to reach us. Of course, you know, there's other great shows on Blog Talk Radio as well. Fridays, Airwaves America with the Dave and G-Ski Rock Show. Joseph Gibson, Understanding the Times in Which We Live. That's several different nights, so check him out. Just look for Joseph Gibson. Annie with Southern Sense Radio. Main day is Friday, but she has other days too, and she simulcasts as well. I believe this Tim Tapp with Tap Into Truth. You can find Tim in here on Blog Talk Radio, but he also does some simulcasting, and listen for that if you're in those areas that you're fortunate enough to be able to get that. Lots of good shows out there, definitely. And as I said, I'm operating via remote Hankland. We had to leave to head to Ohio near Buckeye Country. I know. You're thinking, Hank, come on. No. Near Buckeye Country, but a family health emergency. We needed to be here for some assistance. So let's get to our obits for the week. Last Thursday, Robert McFarland, former Marine Corps officer and national security advisor for a time under President Ronald Reagan. He was 84, passed away from complications of lung disease. Also last Thursday, former Minnesota Golden Gopher, an NFLer with the Boston Patriots, Gino Cappelletti. He was actually the 1964 AFL MVP. Gino Cappelletti passed away at age 88 last Thursday. He was not related to 1973 Heisman winner John Cappelletti, but he was the father-in-law of former Chicago Bears wide receiver Tom Waddle. Gino Cappelletti later worked as a color commentator and analyst as well. Sunday, we lost actress Maggie Peterson. She passed away in her sleep at age 81. She's best known for her role as Charlene Darling of the Mountain Folk Darlings on the Andy Griffith Show. Remember that? Interestingly, she later served as the location manager for the epic 1995 mob film Casino. Monday was Mrs. Hank's birthday, which, as I said, we spent that day driving to Ohio to be with a family member who's facing her mom, my mother-in-law, facing some health challenges right now. Hopefully we'll be able to do a mini trip on the way home for some better celebrating. We can take our time, visit a couple sites, give her a proper birthday celebration. We lost four centenarians this past week. Last Friday, we lost Australian rules footballer Alec Matheson at age 101. And then Saturday, we lost Canadian fighter pilot James Francis Edwards at age 100. He had 19 confirmed aerial victories in World War II. Sunday, we lost Russian actress Nina Matsaeva at age 100. And then yesterday, we lost Latvian film director Rolands Kalniņš. It's got all these accents and stuff, but Rolands Kalniņš at age 100. Hey, again, before we get to the news, a shout out for my friends at Alliance Communication Center in Central Florida, 24-hour call center and messaging service. They serve all over the country, even internationally. They probably provide a full range of call center type services. And also, if you're into remote work, they are a good employer, so you might give that a try as well. You can reach them at 800-555-3738 or go to the web, www.alliancecommunications.com. Good folks. I know them. I've worked with them. Just good all-around folks. Okay, let's get to it. We've got our three quickies this week. The Dems have abort being the proper word in this case. They aborted the Supreme Court Protection Bill. Despite it not unanimously passing in the Senate, the House will not approve the Supreme Court Police Parity Act. This bill would have provided Supreme Court justices and members of their families the same level of security protections that we, the taxpayers, provide to other high-ranking officials in our government. But Democrat leadership, and as well as rank and file, over in the House, said that it doesn't go far enough, and they refused to pass it in its current form. Yeah, they did that right as demonstrations were ramping up over last weekend's. Yeah, Steny Hoyer, majority leader in the House, said it should be extended to law clerks and staff who have increasingly faced threats to their physical safety. In other words, we want to protect the ones that are leaking information. Court Families Act. Another little quickie. The formula issue. You know, there's a formula shortage. Of course, we found out that it looks like illegal aliens are getting it anyway. But Bette Midler, look, she was hot back in her day. Doesn't mean she was smart. Here's what she tweeted out about the formula shortage. She said, "Try breastfeeding. It's free and available on demand." Look, I'm not even going to go there. Think of this, though, as somebody said, imagine having a large gay fan base, like Bette Midler does, and having gay couples that are raising kids in two father households. And then thinking that's a good suggestion. Yeah, no kidding. How about this? How about reasons why a woman cannot breastfeed? Maybe chooses not to or is working or whatever. Yeah, but no, just breastfeed. Yeah, she's just, she followed up trying to defend it. It didn't go well. But yeah, that's the kind of people we've got on the left. And then this one, I want to give a shout out, first of all, to a person I follow on Twitter and I believe might follow me as well. And I thank her if she does. Her name is Domenica Delia, and she put out a tweet about Johns Hopkins putting a pedophile advocate in charge of their Child Sexual Abuse Prevention Center. So she put out this tweet, and she pointed out, this is a transgender professor named Alan Walker. I'm not even sure how to term it. If it's a transgender female, does that mean she was a female and is now a man? I don't know. But anyway, Alan Walker resigned. It says he resigned from Virginia after a video went viral where he was defending pedophiles. He referred to them as minor attracted persons. Seriously, minor attracted persons. I hope you all know that's not normal. That's not normal. I mean, whether you call them pedophiles, a minor attractor, I don't really care. It's not normal, but they're trying to normalize it with that kind of language. Along that line, the Texas Supreme Court allows investigations to continue child abuse allegations over mutilative sex surgeries. Yeah, there were people that actually said, no, that's not fair. That's not abuse. We're talking about mutilating sex surgeries. And get this, as parents were resisting transgender stuff, they were resisting the transgender push, there was a teacher that suggested sending in child services. A woman whose 12-year-old daughter was exposed to this during an after-school art club said she would have never allowed her to go if she'd known this. It's actually a meeting of the school's Genders and Sexualities Alliance Club, which is dedicated to supporting homosexuality, transgenderism, and other non-traditional ideas about gender and sexuality for 12-year-olds. And then somebody told this girl, if she doesn't feel attracted to anybody sexually, she must be queer. And if she doesn't feel comfortable in her own body, she must be trans. Yeah, a 12-year-old who's going through maybe some changes. So that same leader told her not to tell her parents about any of this. The woman, her name is Kimberly Chambers. She works as a, quote, health equity initiatives coordinator. Anyway, yeah, she thought maybe she needs to call in child services on the parents. Unbelievable. And so let's get to this story about Johns Hopkins. Former university professor who calls for less social stigma on pedophilia is returning to academia, landing a new job at a research center dedicated to preventing child sexual abuse. Now, it would be one thing if this was California Whackout University or the California Center for Misfits and Idiots and Other Non-Thinking People. This is Johns Hopkins. This is like one of those places where when something's discovered in medical, it's Johns Hopkins, man. We listen to this. So Alan Walker published a book that challenges widespread assumptions about non-offending minor attracted persons. He says it isn't necessarily immoral for adults to be sexually attracted to children. No, it's sick. He says, I want to be extremely clear that child sexual abuse is never okay, but having an attraction to minors, as long as it isn't acted on, doesn't mean that the person who has those attractions is doing something wrong. So if we want to categorize them as evil or morally corrupt, well, when they act on it anyway. But, just, but when we're talking about non-offending minor attracted persons, these are people who have an attraction that they didn't ask for, but it's one that can be treated. This was in Old Dominion University. But the Moore Center at Johns Hopkins says it's a leader in the field of preparation prevention research or perpetration prevention research. I submit that anyone who defends this in any form isn't qualified. Certainly not fit. I don't want to say not qualified, but certainly not fit. Look, if you are attracted to minors and you don't act on it, hooray for you. But get help. I mean, if you think that you might go down tomorrow to the local grocery store and shoot up the parking lot, but you're not sure, hey, maybe talk to someone. If you're thinking you might kill yourself, there are hotlines to call, so please do. Hell, call this show. I'll talk to you for up to 2 hours. But no, you don't have something like that under control. And when it comes to the endangering of a child, absolutely not. But it's not normal. I'll hesitate to say whether it's immoral because I think some people may have those feelings and didn't ask for them. I think others were victims. Now, there are studies that say that show that of perpetrators of this type, it's not like a huge majority of them were victims at one time. Many were not. They're just sick. Now look, again, I don't want to go around killing every person that's a pedo or whatever, especially if they're trying to control it and trying to get help. I certainly don't want, but God forbid you think I've got it under control. I'm normal, because you're not. If you are sexually attracted to minor persons, and I'm not talking the 17-year-old girl who developed sooner or whatever, or even the 14. Now, yes, again, there are boundaries. But yes, I get that there are 14-year-old girls who look like 18-year-olds. People, that's not what I'm talking about. I would still say, don't go after them. But it's understandable. There have been Hollywood stars that were 16 and you're thinking, wow, she is beautiful. Or guys, for that matter. You know, boy, what a good-looking kid. Doesn't mean it's normal to go after them, so please don't. Get help. Whatever. But anyway, thank you to Domenica Delia for pointing that out. I might have missed that. And I think it's important. It's not normal. Let's get this out there. It's not normal. And let's not walk around and say, oh, there's nothing wrong, and that these are normal relationships, because they're not. Three interesting things in our news notes, idiocy and crap. California wokeness laws are getting hammered. They really are. Latest one, a gender equity law. A Superior Court judge has declared their gender equity law unconstitutional. This law, which was originally signed in 2018 by former Governor Jerry Brown, mandated that corporate boards with at least 5 directors have a minimum of 2 female directors by 2021. Corporations that failed to meet the requirements would face fines of up to $300,000 per violation. A Judicial Watch brought the suit. Judge Maureen Duffy Lewis wrote that the state did not prove that the law meets a compelling interest, nor is it necessary, and is narrowly tailored. Now, another law was struck down last month that mandated racial or ethnic diversity on boards of directors. Again, look, if you're the CEO or the chairman of the board of XYZ Megacorp and you have no women on your board, you should probably look into it. Not just so that you can have women on your board, but there are qualified women out there who bring an interesting point of view. There are Black Americans who would bring an interesting point of view if you have no Black Americans on your board. Chinese Americans, Korean Americans, actual African Americans. I don't mean Black African, but someone that is migrated or immigrated here from South Africa or North Africa, doesn't matter, might bring an interesting perspective to your board. But should it be demanded and mandated? Absolutely not. Foolhardy to think that it is. Jeff Bezos, he's just the latest, by the way, in the long line of people crushing Dopey Joe on his dubious accomplishments. This one's coming from the Daily Wire. He absolutely torched Dopey Joe over his dubious claim about the accomplishments of his administration. Here's Dopey Joe said, under my predecessor, the deficit increased every single year. This year, we're on track to cut the deficit by $1.5 trillion. As someone pointed out, He says, this year we're on track to cut it by $1.5 trillion, the biggest one-year decline ever. It matters to families because reducing the deficit is one of the main ways we can ease inflationary pressures. The neoliberal project actually responded to this tweet. They wrote, this is so silly. The deficit is decreasing because we're not doing pandemic aid anymore, and federal receipts are up because of inflation. Congress or the Biden administration didn't do anything to lower the deficit. Jeff Bezos responded to that tweet and accused Biden of again trying to deceive the public. He says, in fact, the administration tried hard to inject even more stimulus into an already overheated inflationary economy, and only Joe Manchin saved them from themselves. Inflation is a regressive tax that most hurts the least affluent. Misdirection doesn't help the country. He also went after last week. Remember, Joe Dopey Joe was tweeting about inflation. He said, "You want to bring down inflation? Let's make sure the wealth." Biden tweeted, "You want to bring down inflation? Let's make sure the wealthiest corporations pay their fair share." Jeff Bezos responded. He said, "The newly created disinformation board should review this tweet, or maybe they need to form a new non sequitur board instead." He says, "Raising corporate taxes is fine to discuss. Taming inflation is critical to discuss. Mushing them together is just misdirection." He's absolutely right, of course. Wall Street Journal, of course, talked about how high inflation rates, multiple causes, right now primarily linked to the coronavirus pandemic. Said consumers have been flush with savings from government stimulus programs and depressed services spending as a result of restrictions on businesses. Then leads them to open the spigot for goods that are in scarce supply. So you have supply chain disruptions, the war in Eastern Europe, China going into lockdown again, energy prices, including gasoline, which, by the way, you can throw squarely at Dopey Joe with the executive orders that he signed moments after taking office. There aren't enough truck drivers. There aren't enough slots in seaports. There aren't enough slots in warehouses. And we don't have oil production. I mean, they've canceled recent leases that they said they were granting. They've since canceled those leases. The Fed, of course, was making borrowing cheaper by just handing out money. So, yeah, just the latest. And then third thing, the shooting in Buffalo, New York last weekend. Dopey Joe, can we please stop with the white supremacy crap? One, he just looks stupid, especially as a man who has a racist history, including being one of those who memorialized and lionized former West Virginia Senator and KKK honcho Robert Byrd. Stop with the, quote, terrorism, unquote, and the idiotic notion that white supremacy is some huge groundswell, far and wide movement. Look, like black nationalists, Nation of Islam, outlaw bikers, it's a very, very small segment of society. They don't have huge websites garnering millions of clicks a day, you know, like Twitter, Facebook, Google, and other media that fawned over you and the DNC and Big Left and MASS. And these are fringe, whacked-out people, some who need three graduation levels up the ladder just to reach moron status. Indeed, some truly are knuckle-draggling, you know, dragging, mouth-breathing creatures. But stop equating it with constitutional conservatives who don't agree with you, because nothing could be further from reality. So just stop with that. The shooter, we don't mention names, so as not to glorify these evil people, also cited Buffalo because of its gun control laws and wanting to prove that such laws are meaningless. Now, while in one sense they are meaningless, let's remember that most such laws and regulations are always counterproductive versus their original intent. To allow an evil act to take hold based on laws or ideology goes against the one central fact of this country's founding. We are a country built on freedom and laws and respect, not one or two of these things to the exclusion of the others. The Second Amendment is no more valid or important than the other nine pillars of the Bill of Rights. So to rail on the Second Amendment, as dimwits like Dopey Joe inevitably default to doing, it's not some bold man standing up for the downtrodden. What it is a very stupid, self-centered man demagoguing on gun control. It's almost Pavlovian, and it's always pathetic. I will say this for Big Left, though. They're remarkably consistent in their hypocrisy. They tell Americans that we have to put up with a formula shortage, but make sure illegals have a full supply. They tell us to shut up about high gas prices, and then tell us we need to stop driving gas vehicles, and even suggest owning a vehicle and having a driver's license might just be a bit above the rights and capabilities of us commoners. But yet they make sure illegals get driver's licenses without any issue at all. And of course, they have no problem telling us the Second Amendment is outdated, and ordinary citizens really have no reason to own guns for self-protection, and that an AR-15 is on par with an M60, while nevertheless making sure Mexican drug cartels, thugs and gangs like MS-13 and other foreign gangsters and criminals get their regular shipments of confiscated automatic rifles and pistols. Yeah, complete with truckloads of ammo. Well, let's get to the sporting things. The Preakness Stakes, which is the second leg of horse racing's Triple Crown, it goes off this Saturday. And like a couple of other times in recent years, the Kentucky Derby winner is not in the race. Not. The owner of Rich Strike, whose name is Rick Dawson, said it had been the plan all along to either run the Derby and the Belmont or the Preakness and Belmont, but not all three. The quick double turnaround of 2 weeks and then 3 weeks is, he says, is not in the best interest of their horse. They would prefer 4 to 6 weeks between races. Derby runner-up Epicenter is the early betting favorite for the Preakness with opening odds of 6-5. Also in the field are Simplification at 6-1, as well as non-Derby entrants Early Voting at 7-2 and Kentucky Oaks winner Secret Oath. The filly goes off at 9-2. There are 9 horses in the field. Post time is scheduled for 7:01 p.m. this Saturday at Baltimore's Pimlico Racecourse. Should be interesting. But, you know, there's no Triple Crown winner this year. Also taking place this weekend is golf's second major championship, the PGA, which starts this Thursday at Southern Hills Country Club in Tulsa. Early betting favorite is this year's Masters winner, Scottie Scheffler. He's going off at 11-1. Other favorites, John Rahm at 12-1, Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas at 14-1. The biggest bet placed so far is on a 60-1 long shot, Tiger Woods. Yeah, Tiger. But like the Preakness, this year's PGA is missing its defending champion. Phil Mickelson, who set a standard last year by a new standard by winning a major championship at 50 years old, has had some issues with the PGA Tour and has kind of backed himself into a corner with some issues ranging from revelations of gambling to statements about the PGA Tour and some puzzling statements about the Saudi Tour-backed tour that he's promoting, given the Saudis' record of some human rights issues. Look, while Phil has been a supporter of conservative political causes, and he's somewhat tight with President Trump and aligned with the events at Trump's Mar-a-Lago club, these recent statements and developments are not a good look. Frankly, it's not a good look for the game of golf or for the tour. Look, Rory McIlroy, in noting the absence, used the words sad and disappointing. Tiger himself was almost as diplomatic, although Tiger's political views are somewhat different than Phil's, but he was, you know, he said it. New standard, 50-year-old major winner. Probably his last big moment in golf as a player. Others like John Rahm and PGA America CEO Seth Waugh also weighed in, and as one might guess, with all of them, the fine line between conciliatory understanding and disappointment was well negotiated by pretty much everyone who commented. Here's some food for thought. It doesn't have to be a zero-sum issue between tours. It doesn't have to be a delicate political issue. And clashing personalities, not to mention egos, can come to an understanding. I mean, look, one of those fronting for the Saudi tour, Greg Norman, is not one of my personal favorites. Frankly, I think the guy's a duplicitous, self-serving, hypocritical jackwagon. Why Phil Mickelson would want to be involved with him is puzzling, at least to me. But it doesn't have to mean that another tour, whether it's the Saudis or the Russians or the Chinese or whoever, has to be ignored or ostracized. You know, it doesn't mean have to mean that players can't play events on those tours. You know, in team sports, for example, we talk about home field advantage. I know in track and field, we used to talk about various track types and surfaces. You know, we love running on that one. I love their track. Now they do same thing in tennis. Remember Bjorn Borg? He was great on clay, great on grass, but he wasn't that good on the hard courts of the U.S. Open, which, by the way, he never won. So, yeah, it stands to reason that some players might playing at some of the events and courses on these other tours, and maybe it's because they get more money or perks for appearing or because they feel better playing a links course, or they never do well on California courses or the desert courses or the shorter courses or the longer courses. I mean, it really doesn't matter. The point is that rather than ostracize guys who want to play elsewhere occasionally or otherwise, the different tours might try and work with the players. I mean, maybe they should even coordinate and work within the other tours. You know, look, given the changes of seasons in various parts of the world, why not? Why not hand off certain events and emphases to different tours? Different areas, different events at different times. Why not? In terms of the PGA Tour and whether or not it's fair or greedy or whatever, hey, Phil, you signed up for it. Nobody forced you to do it. Hell, nobody forced you to turn pro, for that matter. You can be upset at the tour all you want, but don't forget, it's the same tour that allowed you to excel and the same tour that made you very wealthy. You could maybe, in fact, try and be a little more positive and say, yeah, the Saudi tour is a good opportunity. And yeah, they did pile the cash in front of me. And yes, I respect those who note that the Saudis have some blights on their record. I'm willing to try and change some of those things. And hopefully they listen, and maybe I can listen to them, and I can use my success in the U.S. as an example of why they might need to be more open and supportive and inclusive of all their citizens. That'd be one approach, Phil. Okay, so 30 years to the day after winning the NBA draft lottery, which allowed them to draft future NBA superstar Shaq O'Neal, the Orlando Magic, with their head coach Jamal Mosley representing them, he told their original rep, president of operations Jeff Weltman, that he just had a certain feeling. So once again, guess what? Magic are lottery winners. After they drafted Shaquille O'Neal in 1992, they won the lottery the following year. Remember who they drafted? Chris Webber, Mr. Timeout, Chris Webber. They actually traded him then to Golden State for Penny Hardaway. And they went on some pretty good years before Shaq turned into a slut to go to the Lakers. He did win 3 NBA titles there. He won a 4th as a member of the Heat. And remember, in 2004, they won the lottery again. They took Dwight Howard. By the way, he finally won an NBA title in 2020. Yeah, with the Lakers, no less. Yeah, so here's what I'd say. Magic ownership, congrats on the lottery win process of deciding who to make the number one pick this year. Make sure he is surrounded with other talent. Make sure he gets a good supportive coach. Remember, though, most of all, the guy you draft is no doubt destined to win an NBA title, just probably with the Lakers. Oh, and Jamal Mosley, remember, too, that this draft pick will probably be the guy that demands your firing 2 or 4 seasons from now. So, yeah, don't get too attached either to him or to the Magic. Hey, NBA, Milwaukee has thugs, too. But yeah, the Milwaukee Bucks, fresh off getting taken to a Game 7 against the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference semifinals. Yeah, the club in the city had to cancel a game watch for Game 7, which was taking place in Boston. Here's ESPN's watered-down version of the story. I say watered-down because they sugarcoat the hell out of it. It says the Bucks have canceled a watch party for Game 7 on Sunday. This was last Sunday, against the Boston Celtics, which they, by the way, lost. After 21 people were injured in 3 separate shootings near an entertainment district in downtown Milwaukee at the end of the team's Game 6 Eastern Conference semifinals loss Friday night. Spokesman for Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson said in a text that the team decided to cancel the event, quote, after consultation with the city and public safety agencies, unquote. A separate statement, the Bucks said, the shootings that happened in downtown Milwaukee last night were horrific, and we condemn this devastating violence, adding that the watch party was canceled, quote, to allow law enforcement to devote needed resources to the continued investigation of last night's events. The team noted that Deer District businesses will remain open, would likely have drawn well over 10,000 people. They said 11,000 attended a game six watch party there, even as more than 19,000 others were inside the Fiserv Forum. Yeah, three people were shot near the district outside the Fiserv Forum toward the end of Friday night's game. One person was injured in a second shooting before a third shooting less than a mile from the arena left 17 people with non-life-threatening injuries. A man and 16-year-old girl who were injured in the first shooting were transported to a local hospital Friday night, while a third person drove there, all three with non-life-threatening injuries. Police said a 19-year-old man was in custody from the first shooting. No arrest has been made in the second shooting. 10 people were taken into custody and nine firearms were recovered from the third shooting, according to police, who described the incident as an exchange of gunfire between two groups of people. What makes people think they can have a shootout on a public street or in an entertainment district, whether police are there or not? Walder said in a news conference. Five of the injured in the third shooting were armed and among the 10 people taken into custody. Mayor Johnson said the city imposed a curfew for the downtown area, requiring everyone age 20 or younger to be off the street by 11 p.m. for Saturday and Sunday. Extra police patrols are also planned. We cannot have that in this city, nor anywhere else in this state, nor anywhere else in this country, Johnson said. Well, first of all, speak for your city. Cities within your state manage themselves because they seem to do it a little better than you do, not to mention in the country. Just stick to your own city. Yeah, fans started going in there during their last year when they won the championship. And now, of course, they're out. So, yeah, just kind of typical day in the NBA. So, anyway, that's it for this week, folks. Like I said, this was said in the lead-up, this was a short show. I'm remote. Now, I may be doing a show Friday. Andrew Herod is unable to. He is traveling. And so Al, between he and Vito usually coordinate stuff, said if Benny would like to do it. So I said back, I said, I'll do it. Absolutely. Might have to do it like this. Might have to pre-record it. That doesn't mean it won't be a good listen. But, you know, hey, if I can do it, it gives me a little chance to put together a little more. And I can, you know, get a second thing of what's going on this week. Maybe add to the – hopefully we won't add too much to the obituaries. But maybe, have a day one report on what's happening at the PGA, if nothing else. So, in the meantime, folks, have a great weekend. Have a good rest of the week. Be safe out there. Hug your loved ones tightly. Make sure you get your checkups and stay on top of your family's health issues as well. But most of all, as Viv Savage said in This is Spinal Tap, have a good time all the time. So do that. Have a good time most of the time. And that's it for me. Y'all have a great week, a great weekend. Be safe. Oh, by the way, Sue, I see Sue has called in. Sue, I'll talk about it later while she's hung up, but she'll see later. But in the meantime, thanks for those that are going to listen in. Thanks to Sue for listening in when she did. And we will be back hopefully this Friday, certainly by next Wednesday, but maybe this Friday, and we'll put something out on the Twitterverse, et cetera. Have a good one, folks. Good night. Good night, folks.